Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the 33rd Sunday of the year. Remembrance Sunday and the gift of life.
Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You will be hated by all because of my name. Your perseverance will win you your lives. Our Evangelium today speaks of signs, wars, and of persecution. It's Remembrance Sunday, and we think of all those who died in the world wars, especially those who died for the sake of our country. O valiant hearts, indeed, we allow ourselves to be inspired by their courage, and we honor them, and we pray for their souls, that they may be loosed from any sins they committed and rest in peace. As the Battle of Britain was about to begin, when our country was all but left alone against the dark forces of Nazism, Winston Churchill made a great and prophetic speech. He said, "Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of pervert science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that men will say, this was their finest hour." He knew what was at stake in the Second World War. It was not a war of chieftains or of princes, of dynasties or national ambition. It was a war of peoples and of causes. It was a war of unknown warriors, a war to lift a dark curse from our age. He knew the future of Christianity perhaps depended upon it. Our country was fighting for her finest moral and spiritual principles. At that time, Britain still saw herself as Christian, and could recognize what a new dark age would look like. What is left of Christian civilization, and that moral fiber which was so clear at the time of the Second World War? Is there a danger for us that we may have won the battle, but lost the war in the greatest scheme of things? I don't know the answer, and perhaps we can't give a complete answer at this time. But I know some commentators are asking whether a new dark age of paganism, of eugenics, of social control over all aspects of society, of disregard for human life, which so characterized those totalitarian regimes of the early mid-20th century, has this dark age actually still come upon us? Perhaps unwittingly, perhaps from a different place than we expected? John Paul II recognized in our modern world a new culture of death, where the moral value of human life is viewed subjectively instead of objectively. People are valued in this world for their economic viability and not their intrinsic dignity. It wasn't for nothing that Churchill used the phrase "the lights of pervert science" to describe that potential new dark age which he feared. Our country, with its new eugenics program, has become a leading pioneer in the culture of death. When I was a student in Rome, the professors always asked us why our country, why Great Britain, leads the world in areas such as human cloning, artificial reproduction, and experimentation on innocent unborn life, and the creating of animal-human hybrids, which are all, by the way, legal here. When our government at the very highest level, some years ago, in order to justify the practice of embryo experimentation, used an argument that the human and economic benefits far outweighed the ethical considerations, I knew then that we indeed had entered into a new phase of moral discourse. In our Britain today, Hippocratic values and the sanctity of the life ethic are under attack. Among those at risk, of course, are infants, particularly those with disabilities in the womb, people with dementia and other profound cognitive disabilities, the dying, and the frail elderly, the same groups we fought to protect in the past. As in the 1930s, so today in modern Britain, euthanasia and assisted suicide are being energetically promoted and practiced, using all the same arguments. Regardless of how serious we rate the present struggle, make no mistake about it, we are in a spiritual battle. Our Lord in the Gospel today speaks so clearly of persecution as the norm for Christians. You will be hated by all because of my name. There may be no obvious physical persecution here right now, as there are in many places in the world for Christians, but that may change. There are indeed subtle attacks which marginalize our influence in society. In education, media, and politics, I need only mention the fact that all our adoption agencies have been closed because we would only promote the family as the basis for the adoption of children. The most dangerous thing for us now is sloth, because if we sit back and are lazy, or uninterested, if our souls become fat and heavy, and we're no longer up for the fight, terrible developments may take place. We all need to be caught up and engaged in this struggle in a complete way. We need a full collaboration of resources and talents. Pope Benedict surprised people on his recent visit to Britain by mentioning the war. The beatification of Cardinal Newman coincided with the 70th anniversary of the Battle of Britain. He singled out our nation for its contribution in defeating the evil ideology of Nazism. He gave great praise to our war dead. He honoured them. He reminded us that he had lived through those dark days when many did not recognise the evil that had come. From his great wisdom and experience and inspiration, he reminded us of new threats, new persecutions, and new distortions of truth that we in our time have to be aware of. He warned several times against an aggressive secularism, a kind of dictatorship, he called it, a dictatorship of relativism, where definite beliefs about what is true, right, and good are pushed aside. He said this in Glasgow: "There are some who now seek to exclude religious belief from public discourse, to privatize it, or even to paint it as a threat to liberty and equality." He exhorted us to be ready to put the case for the promotion of faith's wisdom and vision in the public forum. Society, he said, needs clear voices which propose our right to live not in a jungle of self-destructive and arbitrary freedoms, but in a society which works for the true welfare of its citizens and offers them guidance and protection in the face of their weakness and fragility. "Do not be afraid," he says, "to take up this service." There is still such a thing as valour, as honour, as sacrifice, things we learn from our beloved war dead. These noble virtues are still possible because truth remains, because hope is still with us, but above all, because there is still love in our hearts. We have our battle to fight in our time. Let us not forget the memory or achievement of those who laid down their lives. O valiant hearts, proudly you gathered rank on rank to war, as who had heard God's message from afar. All you had hoped for, all you had, you gave to save mankind, yourselves you scorned to save.